The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Matthew 28:1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's word.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. We're really grateful you're with us as we close out not only the series, but this year. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, kids. Did you have fun Christmas? Hope so. This time of year is a great reminder to us of God's gracious gift in Jesus. In many ways, kids, that's why we celebrate Christmas. Like, as we get those gifts, those presents, and we're excited and we just have fun, it is a reminder that there's something even better. There's something even better than the favorite gift that I got this Christmas, and his name's Jesus. And so all through this Advent series, that's what we've been doing, is exploring the grace of God given to us in Jesus. And so we started by seeing, like, in God's creation, as he created us with limitations, that those limitations bring about a surprising revelation of his grace. Shows us something, like, because we're limited, it shows us that we need him. And that's a good thing for us, because too often we try to live life on our own terms, in our own way. We saw that God's grace extends to us in our failures. Like, when we falter, when we fall, when we sin, when we turn our backs on him, he is racing after us to rescue and to redeem. We saw that he is at work in and through Jesus, bringing about not just individuals who love him and follow him, but a people for his name's sake. And he's been doing that since the very beginning of all things, rescuing people to himself. And then this Christmas Eve, we were reminded that God's grace to us is in Jesus. God's grace is with us, if you will, in Jesus. And so this morning, we want to really just kind of wrap up this series by drawing our minds to a couple of key ideas that we've been exploring through this series. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to us as we head into the new year. What we are going to see is that Jesus is God's plan to be with us. Like in Jesus, God is with us, and all along the way, God's plan to be with his people was meant to be brought about in and through Jesus. Jesus is God's plan to be with us. We've seen this from the very beginning, that God desires to be with his people. And now God has made a way for us to be with him in and through and by Jesus. That the original creation intent for all humanity is that we would be people who glorify God in all that we say and do, and that we would be people who live for the good of others. And now he's making a way for that to work itself out in our lives and in our life together in and through Jesus. And so as we look to what might be some familiar words to us, in what's described as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, as we look to those words, we want to see something in particular today. We want to see the way in which God has worked to be with his people. And so we kick it off, we start off by seeing the divine authority and assurance of King Jesus. So we want to see how Jesus is God's plan to be with us, and this works itself out as the divine authority and assurance of King Jesus. Look again at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is an interesting scene. Jesus has been crucified on that cross, and then he is risen from the dead, and now he is coming to his people to speak these last words of instruction and hope for them. And in this moment, what we discover is that his disciples, some of them worship, and yet some of them are doubtful. And I think at times we could look back on that and wonder, why on earth would these men and women be doubting in this moment? Jesus has not just died in our place, but he has now been raised from the dead, demonstrating that he is everything that he said he is. And yet some of them are doubting. But I think we need to put ourselves in their shoes. Because if we think about it, that in the last few days for these men and women, their greatest hopes and expectations have been shattered. I mean, in the Jewish mind, the idea of the Messiah was not one who was going to come and die, but rather was going to be some sort of conquering king, was going to come and pave a way to free Israel once again from the shackles of foreign occupation, and was going to set them free so that they could be with God and worship God freely without Roman incursion. And yet, none of that came about, it seemingly. Jesus, their great hope and Messiah, the one that they had put all their trust in, had been betrayed, ultimately executed as an enemy of the state. And now they're supposed to believe that that one stands before them, raised. I mean, in some ways, I think this year, in some unique ways, we can relate to their experience. Because if 2020 has done anything, I think it's shattered some of our expectations, maybe even our hopes and our dreams for this past year. I don't think any of us sat in this spot at this time last year and had any idea, any inkling of what we were going to experience. And so in a unique way, we can know what they're feeling a bit in this moment. We know what it looks like to have dreams shattered, expectations dashed, to be sitting in a bit of disbelief. Like in light of a year as we've had, how can we possibly say that God's grace is with us? And in this moment, then, Jesus speaks these words. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And in those words, I think it's helpful for us to reflect on how are those words intended to be a reply to their worship and their doubt. I think it's easy for us to look at those words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And we can think of Jesus as a sort of supervisor, a manager, a boss, who comes and You know, I worked fast food growing up. And, you know, there's these little phrases that they love to say. You know, you got time to lean, you got time to clean. And it's just a reminder, a little subtle reminder. Hey, buddy, stop eating the chicken nuggets and, you know, get back to work. Not that I ever ate food for free at McDonald's. But we could think of Jesus as being this sort of, like, divine supervisor. He comes to give us our marching orders. But I think it's more helpful for us to reflect on the context in which these words are given. You see, what Jesus is doing in this moment is he's calling upon the words from Daniel chapter 7. He's actually pointing back to their great sense of hope in the coming Messiah. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we see this: I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. In the midst of their consternation, like their frustration, their disappointment, their discouragement, Jesus is pointing back to these ancient words to remind them that he is indeed who he claimed to be. That he is the divine king who has been given authority by God himself to come and to rescue and to redeem. And so instead of seeing these words as a divine supervisor coming to give us our orders for the day, instead we need to see Jesus is speaking hope into our lives. In a year like we've experienced, Jesus is still with us. In the discouragement and the disappointment and the hardship that we've experienced in this year, Jesus still is reigning and ruling. He is still with us. He is still the divine king of the universe. And in fact, he's pointing their sights beyond the here and now. It's not just that he was to come and to rescue Israel and have a small kingdom. It says that his kingdom is everlasting and encompasses all the peoples and nations and languages. And so we should hear Jesus' words as a word of hope for us. No matter what you experience this year, the promise of God is that he is with us in Jesus. Jesus is God's plan to be with us. The divine commission of King Jesus then. So we see this authority and this assurance of King Jesus. Now we see the divine commission of King Jesus. Look again at verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You see, what Jesus is doing in this moment, again, this is really in many ways capping off the entire series as we've looked from Genesis chapter 1 to this moment. What Jesus is doing is he's looking back at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that commission that God gave to humanity. Remember? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. The original commission to humanity was to be people who live for God's glory. We're created in his image. And so he places us in this world to glorify him, to reflect something of who he is and what he's like. And we do that primarily through living for the good of others. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that's the commission for all humanity. And that remains the commission for humanity today. So Jesus speaks these words. He's looking back at that commission from Genesis chapter 1 through the lens of the promise to Abraham. You see, God's work, God's plan, his plan to be with his people, that we would glorify him and live for the good of others, that has been worked out from the very beginning of all things. And in Genesis chapter 12, we see this promise to Abraham that God will bless him so that he and his people will be a blessing to others. And that's precisely the call on our lives. This call to make disciples is a call to live for the good of others, to glorify God in all that we say and do, and then to help others find their way back to the Lord, that they might find their hope and help in Jesus. Like, this is why we're to make disciples. We're to make disciples so that there will be icons of Jesus, image bearers, people who are living out his way of life. There will be icons of Jesus all over the place, that God's glory will be seen and put on display throughout all the nations. And as we do that, then, we're inviting others to come into that way of life, that they might find hope and help in Jesus. And so as we head into 2021, what's it going to look like for you to follow Jesus? Like, for some, maybe that's giving your life over to him for the very first time, trusting him at his word, believing him to be your hope and your help, turning from your way of living that was on your own terms, where you sat in the driver's seat of your life, turning your back on that and instead returning to God's intention for you to live with him at the center of who you are, to guide and direct and shape you from the inside out. I mean, maybe some need to take that step, and as we see here, to identify with Jesus in baptism. That baptism celebration coming up on January 31st is a great opportunity to identify with Jesus. And look at what happens. As we identify with Jesus, we display to a watching world something of who he is and what he's like. So we have this opportunity to share with others the goodness of God in our own lives. The divine commission of King Jesus leads or culminates ultimately in the divine presence of King Jesus. Look again at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What the Lord is doing in this moment, what Lord Jesus is doing in this moment, is he's trying to show us that God's desire to be with us from Genesis chapter 1 never ceased. And now here, in through his person and work, his resurrection, he is calling us to identify with him, to learn from him, and he gives us this promise that he will be with us. All throughout the Old Testament, we see the story of God's plan to be with his people. And in this verse, what he's doing, this statement, this commission, and then this promise to be that God would be with his people, it is drawn from the last verse of the Hebrew Bible. Now, our Christian Bible, the format that we have, Malachi closes out the Old Testament, but in the Hebrew Bible, it's Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And it's interesting, in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, what we see is God's plan and his purpose to be with his people, and it culminates with these words. King Cyrus, who was the king over Babylon, where the people of God had been sent into exile, he says this: "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you and all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up." What's happening, and as the Hebrew Bible comes to a close, is one, we see this pagan king given authority by God to build God's temple, have the people of God rebuild God's temple, and then this promise of divine presence. But it closes out, "Let him go up." This is a sentence fragment. And what it's meant to do is to remind us that ultimately God's plan and his purpose to be with his people isn't yet complete. But now, in and through the person and work of Jesus, we now see God's temple not in a singular place, but rather his temple is the heavens and the earth. His people are going to be drawn from all the nations. Everyone is going to be invited to follow after Jesus, to find life and hope in him. And so Jesus now says that his presence will be with us. I mean, these are the lengths to which God has gone to make his presence known among his people. And so what is it going to look like for us in this coming year to live with Jesus, the divine King? I think we need to remember that we experience his presence by his word. That God has given us his presence in and through and by his word. And so we are going to restart our Bible reading plan come January 1. And this is a great week to plan and to prepare to enter into one of those Bible readings plans. We have a couple of different versions that you can choose from. One that goes through the whole of the Bible and one that goes through the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Proverbs. It could be a great opportunity to prepare our minds and our hearts to spend time with the Lord in the coming year by getting ready one of those Bible reading plans. To make a plan and a way to spend time with him, to think on his word, that we might live by it, that it might shape us and transform us from the inside out. We want to live together in his presence. Like again, God is calling a people to his name, not individuals alone. And so we want to recommit to those gospel communities that we're a part of. And if you're not in one, we want to invite you to be a part of a gospel community. You could walk with others in his presence. We're going to start some online Bible studies in the coming months, just as a way to help us engage God's word, and we want to put that on your radar. Maybe that's an option for you. We want to live on mission in his presence. Like, this is the reality. God's plan to be with his people includes you. He wants to use you to help others find their way back to him, that they might experience his help and his hope, and they might live in his presence. That out of an overflow of our time with the Lord, that we would be spurred on to his mission together. And so who is it that the Lord's putting on your mind even right now, who maybe doesn't know him, that you want to begin praying for by name, that the Lord might show himself to be real? And so as we close out this year, we're going to do so as we always do by taking part in the Lord's Supper. Like this encapsulates the lengths to which God has gone to be with his people. From the very beginning of all things, that was his plan and his intention. And he has continued to work out that plan in and through and by Jesus. And so now we get to celebrate the fact that we can live in his presence by remembering him in his life, his death, and his resurrection and ascension. That his body had to be broken. The links to which God went to be with you, his son's body had to be broken. His blood had to be shed. And if by faith you have trusted in him, then you can be in his presence. And so let's take a few moments. Let's just think on the goodness of our God. You can find those little packets somewhere around you. On the top is the wafer, his body. Underneath is the juice, which represents his blood. This would be a great opportunity for us to just meditate for a moment, thinking on his goodness, and then to respond in worship. Jesus is God's plan to be with his people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that you have spoken to us by it. Not just that you have spoken to us by it, but by speaking, you have given us your presence. Oh God, would you remind us of that great reality, even now in this moment? No matter what this year has brought our way, you have promised to be with us. And so would you help us to continue to hold on to that truth and that reality that we can be with you as we meet with you in your word. We're so grateful for all that you've done in and through Jesus, the grace that you've lavished upon us by him. We pray this in his name. Amen.